victory and wrapped up by Junior Alvarado, as they stroll home in the Gotham.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Junior Alvarado. The 34-year-old Venezuelan native has won 1,788 races for $99 million in a 15-year career that began at Calder, went through Arlington Park, and is now firmly established on the New York circuit and the Florida winter circuit. For the first time in about 10 years, Junior, you're spending the winter in Florida. How's that feel? Got to be a heck of a lot warmer than Aqueduct, I guess.
Hi, Sean. Yeah, thanks so much first for, you know, inviting me to the program In the Room. And yeah, you know, pretty happy here with the weather, you know, having like a wonderful weather so far, you know, and, you know, it's been very, very good here.
Yeah, you're having a strong meet at Gulfstream, and take me through the move to leave Aqueduct for the winter and go to Florida for the winter.
You know, the thing is, just, you know, I have been kind of like building it up little by little, you know. I think the last couple of years, you know, with, you know, I talked to my agent about coming, or, you know, about coming here, we're staying in Aqueduct. So, you know, it was just a little hesitation. And, you know, when you're going to go somewhere like this, like here in Florida, you know, you don't have to have hesitation. You have to be ready 100% to do it, you know, 100% committed. And, you know, I just think this year, you know, kind of worked out, having, you know, like, I have two kids that are going to school, you know, so it was easy for me, you know, just to move here without getting them out of school. You know, they still can do it online, the school, and you know, it was just like I said, I mean, everything just worked out perfect this year. Like, you know, everything kind of lined up for me to make the move.
Yeah, and we talked about it years ago at Saratoga when you moved to New York, I mean, making those decisions to leave Arlington Park to go to New York, and now to spend the winter in Florida. That's something that you put a lot of thought and process kind of into deciding if you're ready for it, and you obviously feel ready for it now.
Yes, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a little quicker, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to kind of wait the right time, and you know, like I said, I mean, just this time, you know, like any other time before when I moved from Arlington to New York, you know, I just, you know, it was just the right time, and you know, it just, like, you know, it shows that for me, you know, it was the right time, because, you know, the way horses are running for me, the way the business are right here, you know, it's, you know, I've been very blessed, you know, to have a great opportunity since I moved here to Florida. So, you know, it's been working awesome so far.
Yeah, no doubt. You belong. Look, I mean, that's quite obvious. You've made your impact on the big stages. Take me through last weekend. Candyman Rocket winning the Sam Davis, and Get Smokin' winning the Tampa Bay Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs. That must have felt good, those two horses. And talking about the future of those two.
Yes, you know, we'll start with Get Smokin'. You know, that's a horse that I've been, you know, watching for quite a while. You know, it's a horse that always run good. You know, it hasn't had that luck yet, you know, like, to get the win in a big race. And I just thought, you know, this was a good race for him. You know, like, it was a little, you know, even though it was, you know, a stake race, it was a little class relief for him, you know, with the company he was facing this time. And I mean, he proved it that way. You know, he's a nice call, you know, like he likes to be in the lead. You know, this time, you know, we set up a little off the speed this time, and, you know, he run great. You know, I think, you know, moving forward, you know, he's a horse that is going to be tough this year around, you know, if he stays sound. And Candy Rockman, you know, he's a horse, you know, still a baby, you know, only was his third race, first time going that long in the distance. You know, we know how Tampa could be, you know, a little tricky. It's a track, you know, it gets a little tricky sometimes. And, you know, for a horse like him, you know, who's just, you know, it was only his third start and going long, you know, I thought he handled it pretty well, you know. So, you know, bright future there, you know, like I said, hopefully, you know, it's all about just to stay sound from now on. You know, I think the talent is there, and you know, I'm pretty happy with what we have so far.
And it's February, three-year-olds, you're obviously looking ahead. I mean, do you have to kind of force yourself to not look too far ahead with a horse like that, thinking Kentucky Derby in May? I mean, is that something that's on your mind, or you just put that out of your mind?
No, I mean, you can avoid that. You know when you go, like as of right now, you're going to run those big races, you know, you ended up winning, you know, you're getting points for the Derby, you know, it just automatically goes into your head and, you know, it gets you excited. You know, it's definitely, you know, like the excitement around this time when you ride those three-year-old races, stakes, you know, you could end up with, you know, one of those horses for the Derby.
No question. Take us back to the beginning. Your dad was a jockey in Venezuela. Was it something that you always wanted to do growing up? Did you emulate him, kind of worship him as a jockey, or what was that like? I mean, what was your childhood? Was it always, I'm going to be a jockey?
Yes, you know, since I have me memory about myself being, you know, that little, you know, I always wanted to be a jockey. You know, I think probably when I was 4 years old, I still remember going to the track and you know, in the morning a couple of times with my brother. And then, you know, like, I don't remember me wanting to be something else other than jockey, you know. And I always, you know, like I said, I always look up to him, to my dad, and you know, and just, you know, it's been a dream so far.
And what's racing in Venezuela? You won your first race in 2005 at, I don't know if I can say this, La Rinconada on a horse named Estevana. I mean, what was that like? What was the racing like that there?
Yeah, you know, that actually was my first win crossing the wire first. But actually my first win, you know, it was a horse that I finished second, and I got, you know, I got put up. You know, that's what I say sometimes. I don't say because it doesn't count for me. I mean, it counts, but, you know, for me, it was just, I wanted to cross the wire first for me to be the first win, you know, like, yeah.
Of course.
But, yeah, you know, it's a little funny because my dad was the other way around. The first race that my dad won, he got the cue.
Wow.
Me, I was the other way around, you know, I finished second and I got put up first. So, you know, I always took it this way that, you know, it was probably like that I was going to be more lucky and the business, you know.
And, you know, like, good question.
It's just been great, been amazing.
And the move to America, was that an easy move? Or was your dad behind that 100%? What was that like? Take me through that decision.
Yes, you know, it's, you know, I remember, you know, 2006, 2007, you know, those are, you know, like, I was doing great in Venezuela. I was, you know, fighting for being the apprentice of the year there. And my brother was here, and, you know, he kind of, like, started talking to me about it and, you know, start watching races here in the United States. And, I mean, it was something, you know, you have that feeling where you say, like, I want to do that there. I wanted to do it there, you know, like, and like I said, even though I have a lot of success in Venezuela, you know, like, it just got that bug in me where, like, I see myself, you know, making it here. And you know, and I start working out to see how I would get my papers and all the stuff. And you know, and yes, my dad was like 120% aboard, you know, like, that's probably that little extra push, if I needed one. It was about, like, you know, my dad, you know, supporting me about it. And, I mean, since we started talking about if I could move here, you know, he just started telling me that, you know, he admired, you know, Angel Cordero, De La Husi, all those, you know, big jockeys. And you know, he just, like, gave me the extra that I needed at that point for me to really, like, you know, move forward with the plan.
He's got to be proud of you. I remember talking to you in 2012 back at Saratoga about trying to get your dad here to come enjoy your career. Did that ever happen?
It did happen, yeah. That year, at the end of the year, you know, I get them the visa, you know. And since then, you know, every summer they come here, they stay with me for approximately 6 months every year. And you know, and it's, you know, since then, you know, they've been going back and forth. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I love when I win the races, but, you know, sometimes even my wife get to recording how he cheers for me. Like, it just goes to another level when I see that. Like, it brings tears to my eyes. Doesn't matter how many times I get to win and she gets to record my dad, like, and I get to see how excited he gets for any kind of race. That it doesn't matter. It could be a claiming 6,000 or a grade one. He cheers all the same way. So he just, you know, awesome.
That's brilliant. Have you ever thought back to your life if you stayed in Venezuela?
Yes, actually, you know, I talked that with my dad. Like, what would it be if I would have stayed there? Like, what would have been my life? You know, I have three beautiful children right now. Like, I mean, I don't know. I would have to say, you know, my life so far has been just perfect. You know, I would have changed it. I would have traded for anything in the world. You know, I have to do it all over again. I'll do it all the same way I just did it and wouldn't change not even a thing.
Take us through some of the horses you've ridden, the Flat Out, Moreno, Mohaman. I mean, which ones stand out? I mean, I know you've ridden some really big horses here and won grade ones. Is there one stands out more than the other or one that kind of got you to the next one?
Well, you know, like every horse, you know, like him, you know, give you, you know, you make a space for them in your heart, you know. Everyone have a, you know, special part in you and for me in my career, you know. Like, I think one of the big ones that really kind of like helped me to get to a next level here in New York was probably Flat Out, you know. Like, he gave me a beautiful, nice ride, you know. Winning the Cigar Mile was one of those, for me, like one of those biggest races here in New York, you know. And you know, he has a good place in my heart, you know. And it's always, you know, like for me, when they ask me about horses, you know, for some reason, Flat Out is one of the first ones that come to my mind, you know. Mohaman, you know, finished four and the Kentucky Derby is like my best placing so far in the Derby. So, like, you know, I have that for him too, you know. You know, yeah, I mean, I got this filly, Eclair de Lune, where I won my first grade one in Arlington Park, you know, the Beverly D. So she has a huge place, too, you know, like just winning my first grade one here in America. And it was for, you know, for the owner of the Arlington Park, you know, it was just Mr. Dutchessois, yeah, it was just an unbelievable feeling, you know. He was there, you know, he bought that filly just to try to win that race, you know. Just, you know, you couldn't make that up, you know, even if you tried again. But yeah, this is a lot of good horses, you know. They and other horses, you know, they haven't been, you know, great estate horses that, you know, like have a good place in my heart.
For sure, like Lou Bosch and Mr. Buff.
Exactly, Sagina, you know, those are big, you know, grade one, grade two horses, but, you know, they really, you know, like, I enjoy it to be able to ride those kind of horses, too.
Well, one that stands out for me was Amazon Corps and the Prioress at Saratoga for Alan Jerkins. I watched it with the chief, and what was that like for you to provide that kind of moment for a man that was so special to all of us?
You know, it was unbelievable, you know, to be honest, you know. It was a great feeling, but, you know, I think after winning that race, I have a very, you know, I start understanding how important and how well-known and how much people love the chief. You know, that was 2013. I only probably had in New York maybe a full year riding here. So, you know, I was still, you know, like learning things and knowing trainers and knowing things around, you know. I didn't know how important he was in the business at that point. I think until that race, you know, when I won that race, I saw how people were cheering and, you know, clapping when he was walking to the winner's circle. You know, I was like in a cloud now, you know. I was just amazed how much people really, really love the chief, you know. And after that, you know, every time I had to ride for him, you know, I have an extra appreciation, you know, for somebody like him, you know, who's very, you know, he was very strong in our sport.
Yeah, sometimes our game, it transcends the horses and the moments on the racetrack to kind of realize the enormity of relationships and how special people are in your lives, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's one of those moments for sure.
And then take me through winning with Preservationist for Jimmy Jurgens. That had to be special, too. I come back, that was like 7 years later.
Yes. You know, like, we'll put it this way. We've been very lucky with Jimmy, you know. But he's been very supportive of me, you know. Like, he always ride me out through the whole year, you know. We have a good relation, you know. And, you know, having to win with this horse, you know, he has put a lot of work. I know he was always high on that horse. And, you know, even though, you know, he was a horse that, you know, for his 3-4-year-old campaign, he was just running in Ecuador, you know, always knew he was very high on him. And you know, like, just to get to the point where we ended up winning a grade one, you know, and grade two with him, you know, he was just an unbelievable for me, just to see the great horseman Jimmy Jurgens is, you know, like, just to get a horse like that until, you know, he keep, you know, trying, and he knew what to do exactly just to get to that point. Didn't matter how long it took him, just to get there, period. You know, it was just an unbelievable process, you know. And like I said, just to be a part, you know, I've been just so blessed just to be a part, you know, with things around us, so many great horsemen and, you know, great people too, you know.
Yeah, for a jockey, it's the loyalty from the trainers that makes such a difference. And you've had the loyalty of Bill Mott and Jimmy Jerkins and horsemen like that. That's got to be a special feeling. Gives you the confidence you need to go out and do your job, I guess.
Yes, you know, it just, you know, like anything. I mean, I guess, you know, I will put it this way. I think every time, you know, I write for those trainers who have that confidence in you, who, like, let you decide. And when you make a mistake, they're fine with it because they know mistake will happen, you know. You gain 2-3 lengths every time you ride a horse for them, you know, period. You're giving a 2-3 length advantage to those horses because, you know, you try an extra because it doesn't matter the outcome. You know, they'll be okay with it, you know, whatever is the mistake. So you, like, it's that relationship, you know. You they let you do your job, and then, you know, of course, you know, you definitely will, you try your best, and like I said, it just works. You know, when they let you do their job like that and they have that confidence in you, you know, you kind of like go to another level of how you ride their horses. You know what I mean? You just like, it gets to an extraordinary level when they let you do the job the way you want it, you know.
That's exactly right. That's Junior Alvarado. Nobody's doing it better than Junior at the moment on the level, on the success for good horsemen on the best circuit. Junior, thanks for your time today, and good luck in the future. We're rooting for you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much again for inviting me, and, you know, I'm here anytime, guys.